There are almost 100 proverbs that speak of the mouth or the lips or the tongue directly, and that help the son, as we've been seeing when we went through the first proverb or the first chapters of Proverbs. They're directions for the son of the king. And excuse me. There are almost 100 that speak directly about his tongue or his lips and the effect of his words on others. Proverbs also about mocking and lying and encouragement on top of that, or Proverbs about how we teach and how we speak. And when you add them all together, there are approximately 200 or so verses that deal with words or with speech. That's almost, not quite, but almost a quarter of the book of Proverbs. And so that teaches us that Solomon, he clearly thought that the way his son spoke and the way that the believer speaks is very, very important. But it also teaches us that it's a problem area. It's something that needs to be addressed. Because to be blunt about it, most of these proverbs are warnings. They're fairly hard to take, and they make us think and they make us consider our words. Now, if this was a problem in Solomon's day, and if this was something that needed to be addressed over and over and over, think about it in our day. We live in a time where not only can you pick up the phone and talk to somebody on the other side of the world and affect their life, we live in a time now where through the internet, you can type out a line and it can go out to thousands or even to millions of people. Any one of us here, if we wanted to. I had one person tell me some years ago that he had been playing around with the platform Twitter, and he had figured out that just as an average everyday person, he had managed to get one of his tweets to reach 30,000 people. That's how big of an audience, just by manipulating a few things and figuring out the system. And in our day, people can have blogs and they can have Facebook and they can reach whole communities and whole groups of people. And our culture says, speak your mind. Speak up. Everybody needs to say their piece. And so how much the more we need to think about these proverbs and what we say. We also live in a culture where words that are spoken by influential people, where they sweep across the world and they have huge effects. You think of what goes on the television, some of these well-known late-night presenters. They can speak and their influence spreads across the world, or the words of certain politicians. There's thousands and millions of voices out there, and they almost, in our day, they seem to be getting louder and louder and louder, and we're surrounded by all these voices, and they begin to influence us. And the way that humor is brought across by leaders in our society and entertainers, and the way that they cut others apart and the way that they joke and the way that they slander begins to influence us, and it begins to creep into our own language. And so this morning, it's important that we begin to focus on these proverbs, because they teach us that speech can be deadly and even destructive. But even more, they teach us that God is evaluating and is hearing every one of our words, and that our speech is before him. So we're going to look at this under the theme, the mouth in Proverbs. And first we'll look at the marks of deadly speech, or we could say the habits of somebody who speaks in a deadly or a dangerous way, and then the marks of healthy speech. Now you might think that by calling the first point deadly speech that I'm exaggerating. After all, we have the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones. And we even have in our culture this latest trend where you may have heard of the expression snowflake. People who, if you say almost anything unkind to them, they crumple and they run off to a safe space. And so you might think, well, Pastor, you're kind of exaggerating here. Is speech really deadly? Is this over the top? Well, the problem is, in Proverbs, speech really is deadly. As we look through these verses, we'll see on the whole the tone is warning, but also These proverbs, they speak of words as swords and fires and as destructive and as causing wars. We need to take this seriously. There's a picture here of warfare and whole cities being destroyed by words. Proverbs as a whole, it makes us pause and think. And as we'll see, it does describe speech as potentially deadly. You can think of any literal war in our time. You go back and you read through history, and you'll see that it's an escalation of words that so often leads to that literal war. It's a lack of diplomacy, a lack of being able to say things properly. Well, a first mark of deadly speech is that there's a lot of it in Proverbs. The person who's in danger of destroying others, they simply speak too much, too quickly, with too little thought. They're hasty. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than him. Proverbs 10, 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In everything that we create as people, there's a balance between quality and quantity. And when we create too much, whether it's in the factory or whether it's in our job you might be a house builder and you might go out and you might build houses. And if you're going out there and you're just going quantity, 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 what you produce has a lower quality. I was thinking this week of an example. When I was a boy, I used to play the violin, and now I was looking online and looking at the values of violins, and I saw now you can buy a violin that's made in China for $50. Now, when I was a boy 30 years ago playing violin, you couldn't buy a violin for $100 or even $150 or $200. But now they've made so many of them, and I was reading up on them, they're literally making them out of green wood in some of these shops. So they get the wood right off the tree and they make it into a violin within a few days, and you have that thing for a year and it can shrink and it can fall apart. And then on the other hand, I also found out, I didn't realize, that you can also go to China and you can go to a certain shop and you can pay $10,000 for a violin. There are shops over in China where there are people making beautiful and wonderful and valuable instruments that will last hundreds of years, literally. And when you think about our words, there's this same picture in Proverbs. If there's too many words spoken, too much produced, the quality goes down. And it even becomes damaging, hurtful, useless. When there's a restraint and there's a speaking less, and when we hold it in, there's a higher quality in general to words. We could look at dozens of proverbs that bring this across. Many of us, we simply need to speak less and speak more carefully. The more you speak, the more opportunity there is for sin and for foolishness and even destruction. Now, this might be a struggle for some people more than others. There are those who just naturally speak more, and there are those who naturally speak less. You can't apply every proverb to every situation, to every person. But in general, there's a theme in Proverbs that the destructive person, they talk too much. They simply say too much. Then another mark of deadly speech is actually the way people speak. It's scoffing or joking. Scoffing. It comes up again and again in Proverbs. We read some of them. A proud and a haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. There are those who in all their speaking, they're looking down on others. They're a skeptic. They're a scoffer. They use biting sarcasm. They use unkind jokes. And their habit is to use words to tear others down and to make others feel small and make them feel foolish. Now, this is something that's by and large encouraged in our day. Maybe some of you even value scoffing to some degree. Somebody says some really clever put down or some response and you laugh and you think, wasn't that great? Wasn't that clever? Or you think pretty good of yourself. Well, in Proverbs, that clever put down is not a good thing at all. There's nothing good about it, or sarcasm throughout the media, this is really what's lifted up. Or if you pay any attention to the shows that are on television, I haven't watched much television in the last 10 years, but I can remember from about 10 years ago, the sitcoms that were on when I did watch television, most of it was putting others down. It was making fun of the other people in that fictional family or making fun of certain situations. It was scoffing. It was joking. And if we're not careful, the scoffing of this culture, the put-downs and the unkind jesting, it can begin to creep into our families and the sarcasm, the cutting remarks. And so in general, think of scoffing. There's many proverbs about it. But it's the pride, the proud and the haughty person who uses their language to elevate themselves above others, to make fun of them. They're sarcastic, they're cutting in their remarks, and they're, as we'll see in a moment, destructive. The way that they communicate is scoffing. And we live in a scoffing culture, and as Christians we ought to be different. There's another mark, and that's gossip. Gossip. The words talebearer is often used in many translations of Proverbs, the talebearer or the gossip. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of faithful spirit conceals a matter. 11 verse 13. This is the kind of person when there's a tragedy or something bad happening in somebody's marriage or somebody's family, they want to hear about it and they want to pass it on. They're eager to this. There's even gossip magazines. Much of what happens on Facebook, especially behind the scenes in the messaging, seems to be also gossip. It's little bits and pieces of news about other people. And there's something about gossip that's very attractive. It elevates pride. It gives a person power as they know a secret about somebody else. In Proverbs, it's often portrayed like a tasty snack. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. 26 verse 22. When you hear that little bit of gossip, if you imagine your favorite little snack put in front of you. There's that bit of cake that you like the best, or that cracker with that cheese that you just love. And imagine if somebody comes by you with that plate and you can just barely resist it. You know you shouldn't eat more. Well, that's the picture in Proverbs. Gossip is like that. It's so attractive. It gives power over somebody else. It makes us feel as if we're less of a sinner or a better person than them. And somehow we like to pass it on. But again, as we'll see in a moment, it's destructive. It destroys. Then there's another one. It's a little more subtle, but it's no less dangerous. There are many proverbs that deal with the flatterer. Sort of a mirror, an opposite sin to gossip. Flattering, there's two words that are used again and again in Proverbs. One word that you'll have translated flatterer, and it deals with gullibility or luring people into believing things by telling them what they want to hear. The other side is more smooth or seductive words, a message that works on people's desires. Maybe a young man, he tries to lure in a lady and he's telling her what she wants to hear and he's being very smooth and seductive. He's working on her desires, pulling them under his influence without really meaning what he says. And in Proverbs, flattering, telling people what they want to hear in order to manipulate them, it's as dangerous as lies, it's as dangerous as gossip, it's as dangerous as scoffing. 29 verse 5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. 26, 28, a flattering mouth works ruin. Some of us, too often, we tell people what they want to hear instead of telling them what they need to hear. And we try to perhaps get an advantage or make them want to like us, or we manipulate. We need to be very careful with this. Flattering is not acceptable. We need to be honest with people in a loving way, of course. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, "Do not associate with flatterers." We read that one. Don't associate with somebody who flatters with their lips. It'll come back to get you later. People-pleasing is a dangerous pattern of speech. Now, those are some of the main themes. There are others. There's hypocrisy, there's lying, there's boasting. But I basically selected the ones that come up the most often in Proverbs. Flattering, scoffing, gossiping, and being hasty in speech. Those are the ones that are listed the most. There's also boasting, hypocrisy, lying. There's some other categories. But here's what they all have in common. Proverbs, as we've been seeing, they're often a comparison. There's a first half to the proverb, and then there's a second half. And the comparison is often that whichever kind of evil speech it is, the comparison is that it's shown to be in the second half of the proverb destructive. For example, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Or the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Or a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. Or a flattering mouth works ruin. There's all these pictures. The first half, it lays out this sinful pattern of the proverb. In the second half, we could look at dozens of proverbs where that elevates the effect of the tongue to fire, to swords, to ruin, to even causing or sending to hell, to judgment, to being a rod. The tongue in Proverbs, it has the effect of a wrecking ball and a bulldozer and an army and a bomb all put together. The tongue starts wars. It kills. It destroys. Imagine for a moment that on your way out this church, I were to give you one of those samurai swords. No scabbard, no sheath. One of those swords that can cut right through armor. And imagine I handed that to you at the end of the service. And you had to walk out of here through all the crowds of people holding this sword. And if you even touched somebody with it, it would go right through their clothes and it would injure and it would cut them. You don't want to touch anybody. You'd be walking very carefully. You'd probably just stay away from all of the people. Well, if you put together the pictures of what the tongue is capable of in Proverbs, it's like every one of us is carrying that sword with us. We all carry that potential to hurt and to maim and to kill, and we don't realize it. And in Proverbs, Solomon, he's trying to make us sensitive and realize you're carrying this sword, you're carrying this rod, you're carrying this fire. You're carrying this dangerous weapon with you everywhere you go. Be careful. It sets cities on fire. It starts war. It destroys families. It breaks marriages. It kills careers. See that again and again, actually, in our day. It seems almost every week there's some university professor out there or some politician who says something foolish and they lose their career. In a moment, they're shamed. And that's happening all around us. We need to realize if you misuse your tongue, whether by lying or gossip or scoffing, you're killing your neighbor. You're destroying them. The Lord Jesus says, whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. And he compares that to murder. Just unkind name calling. James chapter 3 verse 5. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature. And it's set on fire by hell. James chapter 3 would be a good passage to go home and read through, to think through also beyond the Proverbs. The tongue not only hurts others, it has the potential to damn you, to condemn you to hell, to be very much a source of that damnation. We need to remember that the very name Satan, it means slanderer. Satan is the adversary, the accuser, the slanderer. We think of Satanism. If I say the word Satanism, you probably think of the occult. You think of these strange and these mysterious people practicing these strange things. I think that's actually a diversion of Satan. If you want to talk about real Satanism, it's right here. It's in the way that we use our tongues, in the way that we become adversaries and accusers of others. If you're a scoffer or a flatterer or a gossip or a liar or you're harsh with your words and that defines you, if your tongue is not restrained, you're really, ultimately, a Satanist. You're doing his work. You're going about destroying and condemning others and yourself. And so the call is repent. Confess your sin, the sins of your tongue. Confess that you've destroyed others. Solomon, he gathers in these proverbs, and they're so strong. Starting wars, swords, fires. Instead, we need to be pointed, though, to a much better way. And we'll look at that now. Secondly, the marks of healthy speech. The marks of healthy, or a word that's used a lot in Proverbs, is wholesome speech. The main theme of speech and the main pattern of the whole book, again, it's comparisons, it's contrasts. That's what a proverb is. The first line says one thing, the second line says another thing. And a lot of times, there's those marks we just looked at in the first half of the proverb, and then they're contrasted in the second half. And one of the first contrasting marks of healthy speech is that the mouth is restrained. Wise people speak less. As we read 10 verse 19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The wise person is always holding back their mouth. They're careful. They find themselves almost saying something and then thinking about it and going, no, they put a fence in front of their mouth. That's the picture of restraint in Proverbs. They keep their mouth guarded. They hold their mouth back. A wise man, he conceals matters. A prudent man conceals knowledge. 12:23. They hide things. They know that there's times not to speak. There's times not to share what we know. Maybe it's to help somebody keep their dignity, or it's to spare somebody hurt when we know something, or it may even be, as the Lord Jesus says, do not throw your pearls to the swine. There's a time to restrain knowledge, to not speak. But it's not just not speaking that's the issue in restraint. There's also many proverbs that restrain us in how we should speak. 15 verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. 15 verse 1, if you take that literally, you're in an argument, you restrain your speech by keeping the volume down, by keeping your words literally soft. We all know that if you get into an argument or a heated discussion, you can either ratchet that up or you can diffuse it and you can calm it down. And the way is by restraining your mouth, by giving a soft answer, a thoughtful answer, by waiting a few seconds before you speak, slowing things down, speaking less loud. It's also when we speak, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. See, the picture in Proverbs is the wise man's mouth, it's on a leash. He's careful when he speaks less, he speaks in a calm and in a gentle way in an argument. He knows how to cool things down, he knows how to speak in season at the right time. He's careful. We all sense this, don't we? The foolishness. Remember going about as a young person, and we probably all had that kind of friend who would shout out in the mall, or who would run down the street yelling things. And some of us, we felt it's just inappropriate, it's wrong. Well, that's an extreme example. The wise person, they know when not to speak. They cool things down. They know when it's appropriate. And then they're known as wise. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5, though, it makes this a battle. This is one of those classic proverbs that shows both sides. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. There you see, there's always a tension with our speech. It's ultimately impossible to know in our flawed humanity when to speak and when not to speak, because there's a time to rebuke a fool, and then there's a time not to rebuke him, and somehow we're to try to figure this out, but it's difficult. There's times to speak and not to speak, and then there's times not to speak that we should speak. But the point is this should be a constant matter of thought and of prayer. A believer should always be thinking, is this a time to speak or not to speak? There's a responsibility at times to speak. Other proverbs tell us, rebuke a fool, rebuke others in due season. It's difficult, though. James chapter 3, verse 8 says, no man can tame his tongue. Here we're told in Proverbs, the overarching theme is restrain your tongue. James has come to the conclusion it's impossible. Nobody can tame the tongue. And yet, the tongue must be leashed to some degree. Perhaps we cannot ultimately tame it. And there will be some who seem to fail at this again and again and again, as it's a besetting sin that their tongue always seems to get ahead of them. But the call of Proverbs is, leash your tongue, hold it back. And that begins with conviction of sin. If you've been destructive with your tongue, and maybe you sit here this morning and you think of your words this morning on the way to church, or you think back to an argument earlier this week, you ought to feel guilty. That's really one of the first ways that the Lord restrains, leashes our tongues. By the work of the Holy Spirit, He works repentance in us. We feel guilty about the way that we've spoken, and then we must confess it. Admit that we were wrong. Those that are truly convicted that they've sinned with their mouth, they'll be wise enough to know the Lord hears, and this must be repented of before the Lord. See, there's a set of proverbs that expose that it's not just a problem that our tongues hurt others and they're not restrained. Our words in our mouths, they relate to the Lord. 12 verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Abomination, it's a strong word. Proverbs 15, 26, the thoughts of a wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. And so the believer that you need to realize as a believer that every word you speak, it's before the Lord and He knows. And your words, they're either pleasant to Him and they're either delighting to the Lord or they're an abomination. It's a strong word, abomination. We think again of murder or abusing the weak as abominations, and they certainly are. But in the book of Proverbs, it's our words and it's our hearts that can be an abomination before the Lord. And Proverbs reminds us again and again, you speak before the Lord. Let your words be wholesome and pleasant and pure and delight the Lord. But Proverbs, it reminds us ultimately again and again, we're not naturally wise. We're not naturally able to speak rightly. As we go through these Proverbs, they rebuke again and again, and they correct us, and they point us, and they show us that we're wrong, really. When we meditate on these Proverbs, if we're honest, our sins will rise up against us. They'll condemn us. Everyone here should be confessing in their heart wrong words that they're spoken. None of us here is righteous, not one. And our only hope can really be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, John 1 verse 14, the Lord Jesus, He's described as the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you can go through the Gospels and you'll actually see that the Lord Jesus Christ, He was and is the very Word of God, that He's full of grace and truth, that when He taught and when He preached with perfection, we could say He's the Proverbs incarnate. He is the Proverbs in a person walking and talking. But there's this also this beautiful picture from Isaiah 53 verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. When we think of this theme of restraining and not opening our mouths, the Lord Jesus, He's also the ultimate example of that. He's the example of perfect words spoken, of right and true speech. He fulfills each one of these proverbs, but also in His restraint and in the times that He chose not to speak, He opened not His mouth. You see, when we come through the Proverbs and they convict us and they show us where we're wrong again and again, they should point us to the need for the Savior. There's none here who can tame their tongue. There's none here who can please God with their words, but the Lord Jesus Christ has. And He went to the cross for those who have spoken too much, for those who have not restrained their lips. And the only place that the Proverbs should ultimately in the end point us to is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's full of grace and truth. That's the good news. And there's actually also many proverbs that we could sum up as gospel proverbs. They speak about wholesome words and healing words and health-giving words, and they point us to the good news of the gospel. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, 15 verse 4. That word wholesome, it comes up again and again, and it teaches us that there's a good news. There's a way of speaking that's curative. It gives health. It builds up. In Proverbs, the wholesome tongue, there's many pictures. The lips of the righteous feed many, 10 verse 21. The word feed there is actually the word shepherd. The lips of the righteous, they feed many like the shepherd feeds his flock, and he brings them to green pastures. There's other proverbs that speak of words being like honeycomb and bread and food and medicine. They can even aid physical health. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And the point is that in Proverbs, there's these good words. There's this good news, this truthful way of speaking that points us to the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shows also that those who know Christ will begin to speak in this way. They have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and they begin to restrain their mouths, and their words become more and more wholesome. See, if you sit here today as an unbeliever, you don't care that much about your words. But if you sit here today as a believer, your desire will be to have these wholesome words, the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of your mouth, that you'd be salt and light in this world, and that your words, they'd be a tree of life. That they'd be like wells of water. Comes up again and again in the Proverbs. There's two ways a mouth can work. For the self. For selfish gain and advantage. And looking down on others and puffing itself up. For pleasure. Or a mouth speaks for God's glory. With good news for the benefit of others. In wholesome upbuilding, and the lips of the righteous begin to feed many. See the opposites. In Proverbs, the wicked mouth, it's destroying and it's hurting and it's killing and it's burning. And the mouth of the righteous and the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately, it's a tree of life and it's rivers of water and it's a shepherd feeding others, and it's like a honeycomb and it's like bread of life. And the call is to forsake this way of speaking. And to seek this, to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit. To begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs, the believer, they speak for the speechless even. They speak for the weak. They lovingly correct others. They encourage, all for the benefit of others and not for the self. So you need to examine your heart today. Which one are you? How do you use your mouth? How do you use your words? Do you use them for the benefit and the upbuilding and the healing of others? Or is it just impulsively for your own benefit? And the call is, if this is you impulsively speaking for your own benefit, saying whatever you want, whenever you want, repent. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin. Repent to those that you've hurt in your sin and in your anger. Well, we could preach 5 or 10 more sermons on the mouth in Proverbs. There's many, many more. But one last theme, just to think about in conclusion. In Proverbs, there's a number that highlight that those who speak carefully and righteously will be favored by kings. It's interesting, this theme, it comes up several times in Proverbs. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him who speaks what's right. Proverbs 16:13. He who loves purity of heart has grace on his lips. The king will be his friend. 22 verse 11. And there's a number of others. Now there's certainly been martyrs. There's persecuted believers. But there's also those in the Bible like Daniel and Nehemiah and Joseph who are very wise with their words and with their mouths. And they were gracious in their speech and they were righteous. And they delighted kings. Now, ultimately, this points us to this picture that when we speak wholesome words, it's ultimately a delight to the King of Kings, to the Lord God Himself. And this should be our desire. that in our wise speech that we would please the Lord. But there's a certain encouragement here. There's a great blessing to the world around us when our speech is seasoned with salt. There's even a blessing in the workplace, in the home, in everything that we do. The Lord often raises up and he blesses those who are careful with their words. It may not be in the ways that we expect. It may mean that if we speak carefully, we'll have to be a martyr for the Lord Jesus. But it ultimately will give the favor of the King of Kings. And there's an encouragement there. There's a picture. Those that have grace on their lips, the King will be their friend. And so let us be encouraged to be restraining our mouths, to be careful, but then also to speak the truth without fear, out of love for others. Amen. Let us pray.